Hello, I'm Eileen McHugh with the BBC News. The US state of Hawaii is bracing itself for a significant rise in casualties following deadly wildfires in which 93 people are now known to have died. Search teams are continuing to scour the remains of burnt-out buildings and vehicles on the island of Maui, with hundreds remaining unaccounted for. Blake Drury is from Lahaina, which has been devastated. He's lost everything to the fires and described the situation for survivors.
Everybody's stranded. There's a lot of people that are still stranded over there. Nobody has cell service, so they don't even know what's going on this side. For those who don't have cars, it's even harder. People are riding their bikes, 20 miles to get to the other side to even find out, what's happening. And just to see that everybody's living a normal life on the other side of the island is hard to accept.
Troops have been deployed to Canada's remote far north to help try to contain hundreds of out-of-control wildfires. Several communities in the Northwest Territories are under evacuation orders. The defence ministers said they'd help with firefighting efforts, transport and coordination. American FBI agents have met Ecuadorian police and prosecutors as they begin aiding the investigation into the assassination of the presidential candidate, Fernando Villavicencio. So far, six Colombian nationals with alleged ties to criminal groups have been charged with his murder. Will Leonardo reports.
The outgoing Ecuadorian president, Guillermo Lasso, had requested help from the FBI in the hours after the killing of Fernando Villavicencio. On Sunday, it was confirmed agents had arrived for talks with local police and the prosecutors tasked with bringing the killers to justice. The Interior Ministry said they discussed the scope of collaboration and support. Mr. Villavicencio's assassination days before the election has highlighted a sharp increase in violent crime in Ecuador in recent years, much of it tied to the drugs trade. The candidate investigated corruption as part of his work as a journalist and has said he wasn't afraid of gangs despite receiving threats.
An Iranian journalist who was sentenced to 2 years in prison for interviewing the father of Mahsa Amini, whose death in custody last September sparked months of protests, has been freed. The 23-year-old Tehran-based journalist Nazila Marufian was arrested in November after she published an interview with Amjad Amini. Here's Lipika Pelham.
Nazila Marufian posted a defiant picture of herself on social media, clutching flowers in one hand and her other hand raised in a victory sign. She's seen without a headscarf, the strict Islamic dress code that Ms. Amini had allegedly violated. Ms. Marufian wrote this message on Twitter and Instagram. Do not accept slavery. You deserve the best. Shortly after her interview with Mahsa Amini's father was published online, she was arrested and sentenced in January on charges of propaganda against the system and spreading false news.
BBC News. The number of people facing charges in connection with the fatal stabbing of a Greek football fan in Athens on Monday night has risen to over 100. Most are Croatian nationals who had travelled to Greece ahead of a Champions League qualifier match between AEK Athens and Dinamo Zagreb. A landmark defence deal between Australia and Japan has come into force. It's only Japan's second defence agreement, following its long-standing alliance with the United States. It means their forces will now be able to operate in each other's countries. The elderly co-owner of a newspaper in Kansas in the American Midwest has died after her home was raided by police investigating leaked sensitive documents. The 98-year-old co-owner of the weekly Marion County Record, Joan Meyer, collapsed following the raid and died on Saturday. The newspaper said the situation had left her stressed beyond her limits. Letters sent by the mother of the late Beatles guitarist George Harrison have revealed her displeasure at the behaviour of the band's frenzied fans during their 1960s heyday. Louise Harrison's comments were written in one of a series of letters sent in to answer to fan mail that will go up for auction later this month. Rebecca Drought reports.
In 1963, Beatlemania was exploding. It was also when Janet Gray, a teenager from Crosby on Merseyside, began to send a weekly fan letter to George Harrison's family home. And hers were among the thousands of letters George's mother, Louise, diligently answered. In November 1963, Mrs. Harrison described being really disgusted at the way the fans screamed through the whole of a Beatles show she attended in Manchester. No one with any sense, she said, would pay and queue for a ticket just to stand on a seat and scream.
And that's the latest world news from the BBC.